A Midday with Howie Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us on Money FM 89.3, Singapore's first business and personal finance station. Now, credit risk and the probability of loan default among Singapore SMEs has risen in line with slower Q2 GDP growth of 3.8%. Now, among industries most vulnerable include utilities, energy, financial and communications, which include telecommunications. And Ajit Raika, CEO, co-founder of Validus Capital, talks us through SME financial health and the Validus NUS credit brief on Singapore SMEs for Q2 2018. He's also the former head of DBS SME Banking Division, so he knows a thing or two about Southeast Asia SMEs. Ajit, thanks so much for coming today.
Thanks for having me, Howie.
So the current state of health, so to speak, we're doing a bit of a diagnosis now of the SMEs here.
Well, Howie, as you know, SMEs are a very critical part of Singapore, or for that matter, any other country. You know, almost 50% of the GDP in Singapore is represented by SMEs. 99% of all companies in Singapore
are SMEs. And 70% of our workforce
work for SMEs.
Yep.
So anything that happens to SMEs affects the country as a whole. In the current environment, and this is based on our records and our information, and as you know, we have a partnership with the NUS CRI, there are some industries that we're seeing a little bit more of stress than others. I mean, you just mentioned them. You know, we see some stress in energy, utilities. We see some stress in construction as well. This is really predicated off the back of the macro factors affecting those industries.
Mm.
Because most SMEs are the last mile lenders. They are the, you know, for example, take energy. You know, we're dropping oil prices that happened for the last 6 months, which has since picked up. SMEs tend to get impacted the most because their payments get delayed by the construction, by the contractors or subcontractors in the oil and gas industries.
Right.
And so on and so forth. But having said that, I still think the Singapore SMEs have a lot of resilience. We see that in our portfolio. You know, we are a P2P platform that lends to SMEs in certain industries. And we don't see a lot of that stress and default that you mentioned earlier reflecting in our portfolio.
Mm.
So we still see our portfolio pretty resilient for SMEs because we lend to SMEs in Singapore all the time. And yes, there are some areas of stress, but I think on an overall basis, the SMEs are still doing fine in our portfolio.
What about future outlook? Risk doing business is a natural thing. One must expect it, of course, and also as a business, you would be affected by macro factors.
Correct. I think to say that, you know, if you're lending to the SME space, you will have no losses or no NPLs, that's impossible.
Mm.
You know, SMEs tend to be, because they're the last mile and the smallest people in the economy, tend to get affected. But I think going forward, I don't see the importance of SMEs in Singapore or any other country, for that matter, decreasing. They will continue to be 50, 60, 70% of the GDP. They will continue to support 70% of the employees in every country. And I think SMEs also need to start worrying about what happens in the future if there is a recession. I guess that's the kind of question you were asking. If there's a recession going forward, which happens every 5, 6, 7 years, what should SMEs do in Singapore? I think a couple of things that SMEs need to start thinking about in today's day and age. I think a couple of things are strategic. You know, for example, I think SMEs need to start thinking about investing in productivity and productivity gains. SMEs need to start thinking about using smart technology in the future. The world is changing. SMEs need to start thinking about internationalizing their operations, selling abroad, selling outside the country. They need to start thinking about innovation. I mean, the world is changing, and SMEs are an integral part of every economy and need to start thinking about ways of innovating to meet the needs of the growing customer of the future.
Ah, but Ajit, all those factors that you mentioned, all roads seem to lead back to money and finances, and the SME just doesn't have the financial muscle as a bigger boy, for example, and the day-to-day operations also makes them feel as though, you know, I don't have time to think about my digital transformation roadmap or to retrain my people, etc. How can they tackle this?
Absolutely spot on, Howie. In fact, I think the biggest pain point for SMEs in any country, including Singapore, is access to financing. It is estimated, and there have been various studies done, that almost 30% of SMEs do not have access to financing or do not have access to the right amount of financing that they need to fund their growth. And, you know, that's where platforms like Validus come into play. You know, we are the new source of financing for SMEs, all P2P platforms like us. which really provide financing for SMEs in a simple, fast and efficient manner. While banks have traditionally financed SMEs, banks tend to only finance SMEs against hard collateral. And number two, the turnaround time for banks to say yes or no to an SME can be anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. And the number one decision that an SME wants is say yes to my financing or say no, but say it fast because I really don't have the time to spend too much time on worrying about my financing. And that's where platforms like us have started to play a small role in countries like Singapore or in, you know, Indonesia, Malaysia, and so on and so forth, where these platforms have emerged.
How are you doing this at Validus? I mean, the fear of lending money obviously comes from whether or not I'll get it back.
Correct.
Right? It's a simple form of explanation, which is why the banks want collateral and to make sure that, you know, at some stage, I will see my money back. My investment will bear fruit.
Correct.
How are you doing this at Validus to ensure that, you know, it's relatively covered your risk, so to speak?
Correct. We have a fairly rigorous process for onboarding customers in terms of selecting customers in the right industries, using the, you know, NUS CRI partnership data that we have. We also have a very intense, disciplined, data-centric approach to onboarding SMEs. So we use data from whichever source we can, any public data that's available, run our algorithms based on big data and analytics to be able to say yes or no to an SME within 24 hours.
What are you looking at?
We're looking at a couple of things from an SME perspective. One is we're looking at their behavior as SMEs because the smaller end of the SMEs, how we tend to behave exactly as they would in their personal life. So their credit bureau score is a very good indicator of how they will behave in their entities. Secondly, we tend to look at cash flows, which are from our perspective are a lot more reliable than financials from an SME. And thirdly, we look at also which industries they belong to. We put this all together, run it through our algo, our proprietary algo that we have developed with the NUS CRI and our own input, and are in a position to therefore approve or reject an SME within 24 hours. And touch wood, you know, we've been around for the last 2.5 years. Our delinquencies, which is an indication of how good or badly we lend, are much less than the average for the industry, much, much less than that.
Sounds great. Let's go back a bit to how SMEs can prepare, though. We were talking a bit about, let's say we go into a recession, which could happen.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, it's cyclical every 5 to 7 years, maybe. How then can SMEs prepare?
In addition to all the stuff I said earlier, you know, innovation and improving productivity and internationalization, I think there are a couple of things that at a BAU level or at a daily level that SMEs should focus on for the future.
Penny pinching?
One is, I think they should be aware and manage their debt service very, very carefully. You know, SMEs tend to grow, and when they're growing very fast, they tend to diversify. Let me give an example. You could have a customer who's supplying manpower to a large company. He makes a lot of money over years, and then the next thing he does is he takes these profits and invests it in a restaurant. He starts diversifying. He knows nothing about restaurants. He's probably heard it's a great business, when actually in reality it has 70% mortality rates. So some of the things we tell our SMEs as our customers, as advisors, say, hey, guys, do a couple of things well. One, don't over-leverage. Be prepared for the future in terms of manage your cash flows and your debt service well. Because when things go wrong, the first thing that goes out of the window is payments. Being the last mile of the chain, you tend to get delayed payments from your customers. That can impact cash flows and really take you down the tube to bankruptcy and litigation very, very quickly. So do simple things. Manage your cash well. Know how much you have to borrow. Know how much you have to pay people. Don't over-leverage and don't diversify in an industry that you know nothing about.
Yes, let's reiterate that it's not the diversification that's the issue. It's what you're diversing into.
Absolutely.
Do you know anything about
Absolutely.
It in the first place? Okay.
Absolutely.
So why do you think certain sectors, though, face more issues or more risks?
Based on our data, the industries that we're currently seeing in a little bit of stress in the sense that SMEs tend to get delayed payments, our marine, our construction industries, a little bit in oil and gas, although that's coming off now with rising oil prices. And, of course, the eternal industry that people need to be worried about is food and beverages. It's a great industry, very, very hundreds and hundreds of SMEs, but mortality rates tend to be pretty high, just given the nature of the business.
Let's talk about some of the findings that you came across as well at the Validus NUS Credit Brief for Singapore SMEs Q2. We talked about how energy and utilities sector seem to have the highest credit risk for Q1 and Q2.
Correct. And that was based on the macroeconomic conditions, Howie. You know, oil and gas naturally would tend to have very high chances of default or probability of default, as the study says, because oil prices had dropped. Oil prices had dropped from their all-time highs and were hovering around, you know, $30, $40, which really has a trickle-down effect on the whole ecosystem for oil and gas. And therefore,
but we're back to about $80 a barrel now.
Correct. Which is why some of the stress that we saw in the earlier two quarters in oil and gas, we're seeing that come off now. We're seeing the probability of default based on the study that you referred to reduce, and we expect for the next two quarters that PD or probability default to come off quite significantly. So it's not as bad as it was, say, 6 months ago.
Good news, then.
We hope that prices stay, because if prices stay high, then the SMEs get impacted a lot lesser than if prices drop to $40 a barrel.
Utility sector, they witnessed the largest increase in default risk, while technology saw the smallest increase. It kind of makes sense.
Correct.
The tech sector is booming.
Absolutely. If you just go back and just from a macro perspective, utilities tend to be extremely high capital-intensive industries. And therefore, the amount of capital that you need to be in the utilities business tends to be much higher than tech, for example. I mean, a technology company needs smart people, good ideas, doesn't need $100 million or $20 million of capital expenditure. And therefore, the ability for scaling up a technology company and the cost of scaling up a technology company relative to utilities, the example you gave, is a lot lower. And therefore, the chances of default in that industry tend to be a lot lower than in a very capital-intensive industry, which is under strain because of drop in capital projects and interest rates also going up.
Ajit, do we see a difference, say, in the size of the SME? Despite its name, there are actually differences still. There's the micro SME, there's the small SME, there's the medium-sized SME.
Oh, great question, Avi. SMEs are defined by the MAS as companies with a revenue less than $100 million. Now, that doesn't mean a company with a revenue of $1 million behaves exactly like a $100 million company.
Mm.
So you're right, there are small SMEs, and we define these small SMEs as less than $5 million revenue size. Then you would have the medium-ish SMEs, which are between $5 to $50 million revenue size. And then you have the large SMEs, which are the $50 to $100 million. The behavior of that less than $5 million revenue size is chalk and cheese compared to the $50 to $100 million. There, for that less than $5 million, he is the lowest end of the food chain.
Mm.
He always gets impacted the most relative to a $100 million SME, even if he's in the same industry. And two, his behavior at that smallest SME, the less than $5 million, tends to be very dependent on his personal behavior. So if you look at an SME whose revenue is less than $5 million and look at his credit bureau score, that will be a great indicator of how his company will behave, which is not the case for a company which has a revenue size of $100 million. So they're all SMEs, but they behave very differently. Their buying behavior is different. Their product needs are different. And clearly their risks of default are very, very different.
So not all doom and gloom. It's not too bad, right? Despite the fact that our Q2 numbers are slightly down, slower Q2 GDP growth of 3.8%. What do you see in Q3, Q4 maybe?
We don't see doom or gloom. Like I said, yes, there have been some industries under stress, which will always be the case. Last quarter, it was oil and gas. You know, next year, it could be something else. This year, it is construction. So the macro will always be changing. As long as the SMEs are prepared for this change in their industries and do a couple of things that we spoke about earlier, manage their cash flows, don't over-leverage, don't go and diversify into something you don't know about.
Start investing in certain things.
Correct. Start saving
gains
for the future, manage your debt service coverage or how much debt you have. You should be fine. So I don't think it's all doom and gloom at all from our perspective for Singaporean SMEs in the future. In fact, I think it's a great time to be in Singapore. The amount of support the Singaporean government gives SMEs is incredible. You know, the government has schemes for supporting SMEs for investing in technology, for investing in licenses, supports SMEs for wage growth, supports SMEs for loans, grants, subsidies.
Even as they look to internationalize as well.
Absolutely. I mean, the government, through its various programs, you know, whether it's Spring and Enterprise Singapore, which is now Enterprise Singapore, and so on and so forth, have so much of support for SMEs. I think they should really go and take advantage of all that the government offers them, because it's to their benefit, and the government is really encouraging them to do all the right things, to do the kind of stuff we spoke about earlier, you know, internationalize, innovate, improve productivity, human capital development, and so on and so forth. And I think the government is with SMEs all the way, and they should really take advantage of whatever the government is offering them for their growth and their future.
Thank you so much, Ajit Raikar, who is CEO and co-founder of Validus Capital. Ajit, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, Howie.